Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Ekasi Economics on Kaya Biz.
Yep, Ekasinomics, and of course a phenomenal conversation we're going to have this evening, taking us through a journey of what is described as what? Mohodu Mondays, Tlhakwana Tuesdays, Maotwana Wednesdays, and Oxtail Sundays. Well, no longer do you need to eat these during specific times and days of the week, but really any time, given that it's at your fingertips. Chef Phil, good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening, ma'am, and thank you for having us, and good evening to the listeners.
Good, such a pleasure to have you. I love how you're here within your beautiful attire, authentically African. I see 5 stars there on your chef, the
yes,
unorthodox. Wow, fantastic. Congratulations on the amazing journey that you've had, and I understand this started, what, 22 years ago?
Yes, it is.
Tell us more.
Yeah, it's always been a passion that started off over 2.5 decades ago, and I've grown in the industry, and my last corporate gig was with Legacy Hotels, and during COVID. So after being in the hotel for over 11 months, because the hotel I worked at was a quarantine site, I got so claustrophobic, and during that period, we were freeze packing the Eurocentric meals. And after getting all claustrophobic and COVID had hit, so I then decided to resign and open the business as the Unorthodox Chef Catering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a business that started off in a garage, in a complex. So you can imagine all the fighting with Body Corporate mm-hmm. and everyone else. And we then graduated. I paid my fees for that and moved into a little restaurant in Midrand. And this is where now we started curating all the experiments, all the recipes, a lot of traveling into the different provinces and just trying to get the perfect recipe, so to speak. And what I wanted to achieve is getting all the authentic recipes cooked by the grannies from the yesteryears and then try and modernize them so that it becomes palatable for the new generation that
yes.
we are now.
What I love about your story is that it's similar to that of many entrepreneurs, right? How the pandemic really shifted us to think differently and decide, hold on, man, I can do more, I want to achieve more, and I can and I'm capable. So well done, firstly, on acting.
Thank you so much.
On that inspiration and following through in building a phenomenal business. For many who aren't familiar with the products that you actually prepare, this is deeply rooted in traditionally South African food. So malamogodu, tlhakwana, I see there's a lovely three bean stew that you also have here for us. We'll show some of these amazing products you've brought to the studio. Help us understand the key focus on traditional South African food, given that you were working on Western cuisine in a hotel.
I saw a gap in the market, and when I was cooking in the garage and then moved into the restaurant, I always got requests to say, okay, I have people coming over and I want to serve them traditional food. What is it that you can do? And obviously with load shedding and the time spent, I looked at the profit margins. We started, you know, like charging a lot of money because, and also we were losing a lot of stock. And I looked for ways now. This is when I started reading up and finding ways on your Eurocentric meals, from the restaurant to now traditional meals, and trying to make them available now to everyone. And with the fast-paced life that we live now, people always miss what the old granny used to cook
for, sure.
for us, what mom used to cook for us when we were home.
You can't put malamogodu in an air fryer. That's my life. So
yeah.
What you've done and created is actually very refreshing.
Yeah. So we then progressed, fine-tuned the recipes that we had, and obviously this was working on the consistency of the product, and obviously now looking at the health and safety aspect of it as well. Because if you go and buy, and this is not taking anything away from the aunties that are cooking in the caravans or at the taxi rank, but if you were to get sick from their product, who do you go to? Who do you approach? And we looked at the health and safety aspect of that. And then we thought, okay, if the Eurocentric meals can be cooked and frozen packed, why can't we do it with our own food? And also try and introduce these foods to our children,
yes,
because that's a heritage. That's,
yes,
a culture that we're actually losing slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So by curating these dishes now, we're trying to preserve our heritage, we're trying to preserve our culture, and enjoy these dishes with our kids now,
yes,
so that we don't lose our Africanness.
We come
so
back
to
the food options in just a moment, because as mentioned, it's amazing food options that many of us as South Africans are very familiar with. But you raised an interesting point in terms of health and safety of food. And that in itself, from a business and entrepreneurial point of view, speaks to another level of compliance that you need to manage. Talk to us about how you manage the costs, the processes in terms of the compliance, the testing, the regulation, and making sure that things were up to standard. Because for many entrepreneurs, that red tape can be a bit of a headache.
It is a headache, and this is why now the business started off 3.5 years ago, and it's taken us thus far. We started conversations with two leading retailers, and they gave us a breakdown of the compliance that we needed to have. And obviously, the project being self-funded, it delayed the process for a little, because now raising the funds to get the certification, to get all the compliances.
Are we talking hundreds of thousands of rand here? You,
yes,
don't need to give us a vet. Oh,
yes,
that's substantial.
And obviously doing the samples, taking for presentations, speaking to the buyers, speaking.
How long did this process take?
It took 1.5 years.
Ooh.
It took 1.5 years. And yeah, we find ourselves here now where we've launched with one big retailer.
Yes.
And we are in store now, and we're pushing the product in there. We were in conversations with another big retailer as well. And we are looking forward to being onboarded as well.
Well done. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with our Gastronomics guest, Chef Phil, who joins us as the unorthodox chef. He's a new chef in town, but as you've heard, a phenomenal journey as an entrepreneur, not only starting his business within the pandemic, finding innovative ways to make sure that he speaks to a market that already exists in the country, one that thrives on the passion, the culture, and of course the delicacies of traditional African foods. Think chicken feet, oxtail, ox trotters, malamuhodu, and even the likes of three bean stew and iskopo, cow head, essentially. As we've been documenting your journey and of course reflecting on the entrepreneurial space, you mentioned something so important. You've built this business, you've sweated your assets quite clearly in terms of making sure that you're able to speak to a market, go through levels of compliance, and now we have these beautiful pre-packaged, pre-cooked, frozen meals in the form of everyday malamuhodu and many other products that I just mentioned. Firstly, I must say, for many of us as South Africans, I'm sure we would automatically think, whoa, frozen what? Malamuhodu,
yeah,
cow head, how does this happen? And as you've said, it's an opportunity that you saw in the market, but what have you done and what's the journey been like to convince many of us as South Africans to say, you can have this every day of the week, not just at a family function?
Yeah, it's been hard breaking into the market, and there's obviously a lot of resistance per se, but we are managing to alleviate and change people's mindsets. You know, it's just a paradigm shift that people actually need, and with the activations that we are doing in store, we're getting the wow. Okay.
Yes.
So what we're tasting now is actually what's packaged in the box. And yes, it is. Because of the processes that we use, from sourcing the ingredients to actually getting the final product that you get in the box.
Yeah.
There is processes. There's a lot of thought that's been put into it. There's a lot of science behind it as well, from buying the ingredients to receiving the ingredients, and with all the HACCP procedures.
That's the health and safety HACCP stands for?
Health and safety. Busi, can you help me out?
No,
yeah,
problem. We'll quickly Google it. We'll get it. But important, yeah, because we're all learning here and being educated on this journey. So that next time we're around a family meal, we can also say, ah, it's approved by HACCP. And I must say, looking at the packaging, phenomenal. This is top class in terms of quality. It has all the detail that one would need in terms of the ingredients, knowledge of the food preparation times, how long you should thaw it for. It's a proudly South African product. So that also tells us something significant, that you actually are supported and endorsed and recognized by proudly South African. That's huge. How did that process go?
The process went very well, and we were invited to one of the presentations that they had, and we took our products through there. And obviously, it comes at a cost where you pay for a membership fee and all that, so that you are put on their platform. Mm-hmm. But going back to the HACCP certification and the health and safety issues that you brought up is there's also what we call the audits, the health and safety audits that we have to do every quarter, where we're sending in the products as well for testing. And a lot of money has been invested in that as well, where, you know, we do the nitty-gritties, where they're even testing the water that we use. So a lot of investment has been put into this. And obviously, it's a red tape for the SMEs that do not actually have funding.
Yes.
And this is one of the red tapes that's in the industry. But yeah, if you are looking to go into this journey, then it's got to be done so that you become compliant, so that you're able to trade with the retailers, because it's 45, 52 million people's lives at risk. And there's no shortcuts in the business. You just have to comply.
Definitely. I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it does set you apart from many of your competitors in the market, as you say, in terms of it being able to transition in terms of the packaging, the useful life of the product, but more so the health and safety aspect. I'm actually finding a lot of articles that are related to health and safety in the food and beverage industry in South Africa. So really critical in terms of that board and the regulatory process that are followed. And more so the fact that this is governed and controlled by regulators and institutions in South Africa that are internationally recognized. So well done. And I guess this highlights why it's important.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming this is also part of the spark that not only the innovative idea around having frozen everyday traditional South African food, but the health and safety aspect also contributed to you being on the shelves.
Yes, it
at
did.
Pick and Pay.
Amazingly so, yes.
Right?
Yes,
and
we are in
Pick
and Pay.
And that's quite a journey. Because many entrepreneurs, when we speak to them, how do you get your products on the shelf? It's quite a process, right?
It
in
is.
Terms of the regulatory and protocols that need to be observed.
And if you look at the back of the box as well, we've got all the nutritional values done.
Yes.
We've got all the allergens done. So that if there's anyone with any allergens, then they'll be able to read on the box and be able to see if they can actually consume that product, because we don't want any comebacks when
yes.
someone has consumed a product. And our
I like this. Malamohodu in this box has 104 calories for every 100 grams cooked. So I'm a woman typically looking at that measure, but that's just on a very light note.
Yeah.
But embrace us more on the journey with Pick and Pay, because we're well aware that big retailers are trying to make sure we get South African stock on our shelves, but again, there are processes to follow, and it's typically not a very easy journey. How long did it take? What was the process like? How has the journey transformed, you know, product demand for you?
Pick and Pay is amazing, man. Pick and Pay is amazing. And we started the journey 2023 September, when we had an introductory meeting. And then obviously we were still trying to get all our certification and all that into place. And they were very patient with us, and they did hold our hand and walk the journey with them, because they liked the product. They liked what it is that we brought to the table. And they made sure that we got all the requisite information for us to actually list with them. And it's amazing that they showed us a lot of patience. And obviously, this boils down to their support to SMEs as well, in terms of Pick and Pay wanting to actually trade with up-and-coming businesses.
Mm.
As long as you comply, then you're able to trade and do business with Pick and Pay or any other retail outlets that are there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you've started, I see, at three particular Pick and Pay stores. Pick and Pay Boulevard. No,
we
actually,
started
more than
in 84.
Three. My goodness, apologies. I saw three names here, and then I realized it's actually way more than that. You're in Diepsloot, Frere Glen, The Grove, Montana, Hyper Centurion. So you're in a number of spaces here.
Yeah, so we are in 84 Gauteng stores.
Beautiful.
And obviously, we're looking, or we would want to grow bigger than 84 stores in Gauteng. And obviously, this is our second month in store.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can meet demand and supply, then I'm sure we'll be able to go to other provinces and all.
And the feedback so far from consumers?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Our numbers are on the box. Our socials are on the box.
Yes.
And the feedback we've been getting from the customers, from the clients, during activations. If you can follow us on our socials, if you can buy one product, pop us a WhatsApp and we'll give you all the info that you require. It's been amazing. And we just got a text now as we're coming through that the Mala Mohodu goes down well with a glass of wine.
Beautiful.
And, yeah, this is just one customer that actually is enjoying their meal right now. And we don't even know this person, but because they have seen the number on the box and they're giving us all this feedback.
100%. My colleague has been so wonderful. Does HACCP stand for Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point?
Yes, it is.
Ah,
yes.
There we go. Bedi, yeah. You're the one. And essentially, this is the scientific approach to identify any hazard in a food system from the raw material production, procurement, yes, to handling, to manufacturing, to distribution, and consumption.
Yes.
So this covers the full value chain.
It covers the whole food chain. And that's why I spoke of, you know, the thought process in from the procurement of the ingredients. We've got to make sure that the abattoirs where we're buying the meat,
yes,
from are compliant. If we were buying from a processing butchery, they are compliant. And we're also looking to going halal as well, because we would want to be able to, for all our customers to be able to eat our product. So we're looking into going halal as well.
Beautiful.
We actually have an inspection in the next week.
Wow.
That to get the halal certification.
So everything from how the animal is actually slaughtered for you to get,
and all, is key to
comply
that.
Because with
we want to reach a broader market, so to speak.
Chef Phil, you're onto something fantastic here.
Thank you.
I love the deliberate intent in terms of building something that is safe right across the board, so that in terms of its legacy and the market that you're able to tap into and penetrate, there's growth on growth on growth. If we can freeze our lasagna, surely we can freeze our tlhakwana, chicken feet, mala
masonja.
Is that coming?
Yeah.
I don't see that in the boxes just yet.
You,
by the way, as to our Kaya 959 family, we are going to have a feast for days. One of my colleagues, Khomotso Miso, was telling the drive team she was going to make Mala Mohodu on Mohodu Mondays, and she didn't. So we found a solution for her. I see there's also Itombol.
Yes. So far Pick and Pay has chosen 12 product lines,
mm-hmm,
but we have a menu of over 30 dishes. And in as much as during our launch we wanted to have our proudly SA dishes, but these are dishes that are also common in your SADC region.
Yes.
So the menus have been actually deliberately curated to speak to the African continent as well.
So are you breaking a story here that we're crossing our borders and going north of the Limpopo?
Yes, we are.
Fantastic.
And we've already started doing that, because on the menu already we've got your jollof rices. I've had an opportunity to actually go and cook.
Is this Ghanaian or Nigerian jollof? Because you know that debate never ends.
We've struck a balance, because down south here we don't eat a lot of spicy food.
Mm.
So you'll find in our dishes as well, all that we've used is your herbs. No spices have been added in our dishes. The salt content is close to zero, because we're using the natural salts, because we're looking at the health aspect of it as well. We have people that are diabetic, that are hypertensive, and we want them to also be able to enjoy these meals that we've curated.
True. Chef Phil, I don't want to let you go, but I want to squeeze in two more questions before you go. Beautiful product offering that you have, and I do see that you, as you say, broadening the menu to literally speak to all the needs that we have and the food that we love on our traditional plates, whether it's Mala Mohodu and Itombolo. I'm assuming Samp is also coming on board soon.
Samp is
already there.
So Samp is the first starch on the market, and the three bean, for a vegetarian offer. We also have kale, because of its water retention properties, because we're not using spinach.
Yes.
So this is where I spoke about the science behind the menu.
Beautiful.
So kale, brilliant water retention, even when you cook, freeze packet, you'll still have the same flavors, the same consistency. Better than spinach as
well. Interesting. And we've heard a lot of the health benefits of actually consuming kale as a vegetable there. I do want to touch on the competitor analysis, because we are well aware that some of your competitors in the market have started introducing some of these products under their own retail names. How are you managing that? Because there's often been a great disgruntlement that innovators like yourself start and create new amazing products, and sometimes they're just picked up by competitors in the market.
Yeah, that happened a month before we went into Pick and Pay. But I always say I'm in competition with myself.
Yes.
So competition is good. And it doesn't come from an arrogant space, so to speak, but it comes from an informed space where people will have to taste to tell the difference. So I won't mention the product and where it's coming from, but I would advise those that know to actually taste that other product and taste our product, and then they'll be able to tell which one is authentically African.
Fair competitor analysis. I must say, there's a WhatsApp that we got from Steve here. It says, hats off to these guys, Gugu. Love their offerings. So congratulations and all the best to you, and really appreciate it. I do see that your products have also been recognized by the South African Chefs Association.
Yes, we are members of the South African Chefs Association because, yeah, we do also want to help colleagues in the industry. The best competition, so to speak, is collaboration. Mm. So we are members and we help where we can. We have a foundation that we've opened and... It's based in Tembisa, and there's actually two kids there that we want to take on board, train, because they're passionate about food. Mm. So we're not just in the business of making money as well, but our offerings speak to Ubuntu, and we want to bring that into the fold as well, where if we can get one orphan, hold their hand, get them out of the system, and actually help them to become dependent on themselves. That's exactly what we want to do as the Unorthodox Chef Catering.
Rooted in passion, steeped in technical skills and approach and professionalism through being a chef, and of course then even more heightened by scientific research that makes sure that from farm to fork, this product is essentially healthy for South Africans to consume while still making sure that it tickles our taste buds. Yeah. So to you, Chef Fo, Chef's Kiss is what we're blowing, and we're looking forward to indulging in some of these products. Ooh, anyone who will
Thank
see the Kaya
so
family
much.
Today,
Thank you so
we're
much.
Going to have a beautiful feast. I see 4 or 5 hours before putting in the microwave, but we'll make time.
No.
Just a few of the products.
All of them.
Quick and easy.
You can either thaw if you don't want to keep the food longer in the microwave.
Ah, I see.
Because from freezer to microwave, that's 8 to 12 minutes.
Okay.
If you thaw, it then reduces your microwave
to two
time.
Minutes, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Njabs, it's going to be a feast. Mudibedi, oh wow. We have to go to ads, but very briefly, where can people find you before we let you go?
We are based in Midrand, and you can order on our website. But please go, let's support Pick and Pay for giving us this opportunity. Mm-hmm. You can find the shops that we are listed in with Pick and Pay on our website. And you can come to... our socials, which is the Unorthodox Chef Catering, and our contact number is 081-269-7515.
Next family function, we're calling you instead of the aunties.
We will be gladly there, and we won't charge you premium for that.
Oh, stunning. Thank you so much, Chef Fo. Really appreciate it. Refreshing conversation we've had with you today, and one that really gives us a full 360 view of how your passion can turn into business with a purpose, and of course make sure that you're doing so effectively to build sustainability in your brand. Thank you again, sir.
You're welcome, ma'am.
That is Chef Fo, as you heard, the founder of the Unorthodox Chef, having left some beautiful products that we will take pictures and share with you on our social media feeds. Cowhead, kakwana, three bean stew. Malamohodu is my favorite with the dumpling. I'm looking forward to that. And the simp. Oh, speaking to my heart.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.